Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, the show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now, here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. You know, our numbers of listeners each month just keeps growing and growing. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing with your friends. I really appreciate the dedication to the Wealthy Speaker Show. Now, today we're going to talk about something that I believe can really help you, and that is shifting your thoughts and your mindset in order to get better results. Our guest, our special guest, back again by popular demand, is Chris Flacky. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
I like to call you Chris Pleche, but I know.
Yes, yes. You're one of the three people I know who's I appreciate it.
It's the French and the Canadian side coming out. Lovely. So now remind everybody what your business model is. Who do you dedicate your time and energy towards?
Thank you. Yeah. So I have, my business is the Chris Pleche Coaching Group, and I have a program that I created called How to CEO for female entrepreneurs. So we do a combination of really teaching the fundamentals of leading and managing, building a successful team for female entrepreneurs. And then we provide the ongoing coaching and really application consulting work as you integrate those elements into your business. And I have the How to CEO program, which also includes monthly coaching support. And then I also have a more premier one-to-one executive coaching group for women who are really more at that 3-5 million mark in their revenue and still managing and figuring out the team, but they just have a sort of different set of challenges at that point.
Beautiful. Well, I'm in the throes of writing a book about scaling your speaking business, and I'm going to talk to you after we hang up from this call. I want to talk to you about getting a story from you that will be geared more towards female entrepreneurs, maybe some problems that they might have in scaling. So today we're going to talk about thought work, and call that thought work. It's about shifting your thoughts, shifting your mindset. How has that benefited you in your own? I'm watching you cough, so I'm slowing down my so that you have a chance to cough. How has thought work benefited you in your business, in growing your business?
Oh my goodness. Well, how much time do we have? So I learned the thought model from Brooke Castillo in 2005 through just a one-day workshop I went to of hers. She and I lived in the same town. And it was from that then I took everything she taught me in that one day, and I started to create my own coaching work for my management team. So people who...
This was when you had a corporate job.
This is when I had a corporate job. I had about 15 managers who reported to me, and I just took it and I started teaching managers about how the way they think about their people really influences how they lead and manage them. I then became a certified life coach with Brooke. I am now a master certified coach. I got certified with her as a master coach in 2013. And I have taught for her and am very well ingrained in the Life Coach School philosophy and how we really help people understand that the biggest and most powerful, yet least utilized performance tool that you have as a leader, as a human, is your brain.
And one of the things that I want to, you know, back when you told me that you were going through, I think, to get certified, I wondered, because you already had a growing business, and I've recently been through this question myself, is, well, why do you need this work? And so I'm actually going to become certified. And after, you know, 15 years and thousands of coaching hours, I certainly don't need it. But I think, Chris, what it's going to make is my clients and me unstoppable.
Yeah.
Let's go back like 15 years ago. Could you have ever imagined building the business that you have today, earning the revenue that you earn today? Like, was that even a part of your possibility?
No. And it's funny you should ask, because 15 years ago was when I first learned the model, right? And it was because I learned how powerful it is that whatever you that you actually have the ability to decide what you want to believe, rather than what most of us do is we sort of have circumstances that happen in our lives and we believe that they happen to us. And so we are, you know, victims of circumstance. We have to deal with whatever we're dealt, you know, all these phrases that I'm sure all of us could find mm-hmm. in our experience. And I just was taught that's different. That's actually not true. And you can create whatever you want to put. We say it all the time, you know, you can put whatever you want in your R line, which is your result line. And so it was from that belief system that I created a whole internal performance coaching team in the company that I worked for. And then from there, when I left that business, I built my business. And then from there, I built and generated successful revenue. And then even still, you know, about 2.5-3 years ago, I pivoted. I used to do a lot of corporate coaching. How we met, right, is I was doing a lot of speaking. Mm-hmm. Which I love still. I'll get back to it, like all of us, right? At some point, I speak every day through this through this medium. But you know, I really do believe I can put whatever I want. I can say, okay, I want to coach 500 women in the year 2021 or whatever, and then all of the rest of the work is just taking action. What prevents us from taking the action that will deliver the results, whether it's in your business or in your personal life, you know, with your body, is your emotions that trigger different actions than you say you want, right? Which then that all comes from your brain. So I could say I want 500 new clients, but if my brain is like, yeah, but Chris,
you really?
I mean, look at this time we're living in. 500 people are going to pay you money? Are you coming on? I mean, really? Who are you to think such things, right? Yeah. We have so much. All of us have those thoughts.
The little imposter syndrome, a green monster on your shoulder, is often there combating your goals. But if you truly step into that, if you truly believe, then anything really is possible. Now, this moment in time, I think this is why I wanted to have you back on the show, really to just talk about, okay, here we are, you know, not a year later, but maybe 8 months down the road from the beginning of COVID, no end in sight, really. There's things, there's markers, there's things that we're looking for and watching for, but there's no imminent finish coming at us really quickly. And I think that right now that people have what's been being called in the news today, COVID fatigue. Talk about how we really need to be conscious of what we're thinking right now, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'll tell you what, I was in Dallas on March 13th, and that's when everything started happening, right? The NBA.
I was in Dallas too.
Oh, that's right. You were coming to the business workshop.
I sat on the plane and then turned around and went home again.
I had gotten there on the 12th. So
I just ran my own event. My event the weekend before was like the last weekend of event.
You're right. That was the last weekend that people.
So I flew right away down to Dallas, and then I just sat in the lounge all afternoon and then turned around and came right back home. Yeah.
So that was really the beginning. And, you know, I think for all of us who work in this type of industry, right, my clients are all female entrepreneurs. I would have said at the time, probably 80%+ of my clients were brick and mortar clients. And so, you know, I had a really serious conversation with my husband. Like, this could go south really fast for me, because these are the clients I have are the clients who have people walking in the door.
Right.
And so, you know, I had to make a choice very quickly And I actually spent that day that she was supposed to do her workshop with my best girlfriend, Brooke. And we talked all about this and we really, really thought it through. And I came out of that time with her deciding to believe I was trained for this and I can help.
Mm.
And so
I want to write that down. I was trained for this.
I was trained for this and I can help. Like everything I have learned up until this point prepared me for this moment. Because not only for the thought work, but I have been working with leaders for years on dealing with disruption and change and ambiguity, which is everything this was. And so the next day, Saturday, so Friday, I got home from Dallas at like 11 in the morning. And I sent an email to my entire list and said, I'm hosting a free call tomorrow, open call for any woman who is running a business or in business who is freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And 75 people came.
Wow.
So then I did another one. And all I wanted to do was bolster my community to know you're going to be okay.
I've got
and
you. So,
and then from there, I kept going with, I can help. I can help. And so by the end of the following week, Friday, I had built an entirely new course called Leading Through Crazy. And it was 12 weeks long. Was it 12 weeks long? Now I'm losing my mind. Yeah, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a good long time. And it had 28 modules of videos that I made all in that week. I poured myself into it. I sold it for very little. And I helped another 22 people navigate it. In addition to all of my current clients, I extended what I was offering every client. I made myself more available. I created more office hours. I let people stay who couldn't afford it. I just decided my role was to help. And here's what I will tell you. Every single client that I have and have kept, because I've kept most of them, made more money. Despite how awful the first 4 to 6 weeks were, and some of them were shut down completely, couldn't transact to save their lives.
Mm.
All of them have rebounded. All of them have, some of them have made more money during a time of COVID than they'd ever made in their business before because they got busy. They figured it out. And that's what thought management does. Is you, what we did, the first step we took was worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Write it down. And I coached them all through it. What's the worst case scenario? I lose it all. I go into debt. I have to file bankruptcy. I get sick. I die. Yeah. Like we went there.
You felt all the feelings.
You have to, because if you don't, so I will tell you another, I just launched my new How to CEO program and these are all new women, right? So I just started with them a month ago. And there's a woman who's in this program and she didn't do any of it. And you might as well have left her at March 15th. Because that's where she still is in her brain.
Wow.
She is in perilous overwhelm and fear. And she's been getting it done, but she's had to lay off 22 people and she's had, right? She's had to do everything else all of us have had to do, mm-hmm. but she hasn't been able to rebound. And that's what knowing how to manage your thoughts does. And as a leader, if you're falling apart, your business will fall apart. But I want to make sure people understand that doesn't mean you ignore it. You deal with it. You mm-hmm. deal with the fear. You deal with the anger. You deal with ambiguity. Like one of the things that I said over and over, I did a whole module on, is you're supposed to have the answers as the leader and you don't know what you're doing. How do you lead when there's no directions? And depending on the country you lived in or live in, you still don't have any.
Yeah.
Like we have been a leaderless world.
Yes.
I mean, look at me. I'm getting really passionate about it. Everybody thinks somebody else knows better. It's nobody freaking knows. And it's the wild exception of just, yes, except for the, with the exception of Jacinda in New Zealand.
Yeah, she's got it going on
and figured it out. It was just reelected in a landslide.
Got reelected, exactly.
Right? Her country's like, all you and a bag of chips all day.
So back when I was going to Dallas, because I wanted to actually hear, I wasn't going for any of the content that weekend, and I may have been disappointed anyway, but I wanted to hear how Brooke was going to think about this whole thing. Like, what was the mindset? I just really wanted to go get my own mindset shored up. I had no intention, like 5 days earlier, of going. I'm at my own live event. And I'm like, I bet I can get in. There's probably cancellations. So I like slide in under the wire and then I fly to Dallas and it gets canceled. And in that moment, I'm sitting in the airport, in a couple of airports on the way out. I'm thinking, it's a ghost town here at Toronto Airport. What am I doing? This is crazy. Mm-hmm. So the thoughts of COVID and all of that are starting to creep in. But then I go back and I've had a lot of time to think, and I come back and I'm hearing and hearing and hearing and taking all the information in. And the first thought that comes into my mind is, uh-oh, my industry's been wiped out. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is not a thought that is going to get you anywhere very far. And so I kind of retreated, felt all the feels, you know, stepped back. You know, everybody's doing stuff and out there talking about it. And I was invited. This should have been assigned to me. I was invited to participate in 4 different things, like within the first 2 weeks. Jane, come and talk to our people, like global things and local Canadian things, and all kinds of people wanted to have my opinion on what we should do right now. And over time, I slowly flipped my switch from my industry's been wiped out to people need me now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once I kind of, actually one of my buddies and I, Chris West, did a 4-week program together. And by the end of it, I had arrived, I had showed up. The first 2 weeks, I wasn't even really present. Like, you're getting vacant, Jane. But then I started to come back to myself and show up and recognize that, wow, actually, people need me now more than ever. Mm-hmm. And so what could be our thought for what we have to just keep pulling it out to get through this next 6 months. I'm kind of taking it in 6-month chunks. Mm-hmm. And we need to really work on our thoughts for the next 6 months. Let's walk through like the model, okay? Mm-hmm. Just to give people some context. If you are writing the model down on a sheet, a piece of paper in front of you, you'd be going down the page. You would put a C and then you'd go down a line, you'd put a T, you go down a line, you put an F, you go down a line, an A, and then an R is the last one. And the C is the circumstance, and the circumstance is kind of something that is indisputable. It's just a fact. You know, try not to have a lot of emotion around the circumstance, but
no, we have lots of emotions around circumstances, but circumstances are always just provable.
Okay, so 2020 is a difficult year.
Is a thought about a circumstance.
Okay, so what's the actual, give me what the circumstance would be.
There is a pandemic in 2020. Pandemic. There are X amount of people who've died in 2020 from COVID. Yeah. My business is down by 50% in revenue in 2020.
Numbers or circumstances,
anything that's provable.
Pandemic, yeah. 2020. I mean, that's, we don't really even need to go any further around there. Yeah. But you're right. 2020 is a difficult year. That's me thinking a thought about 2020. Thought.
Yeah.
What would be some common thoughts that we might hear? I've seen a lot of memes, you know, that are kind of funny, but at the same time, not very helpful when it comes to your thoughts. What would be some,
I said to you, right? Like right before we started this podcast, I'm like, 2020 has clearly been the, I believe been one of the worst years of my adult life. Right. Okay, that's a thought I've thought. And I think a lot of people I know, 2020 can suck an egg. 2020 has been unprecedented.
It's funny though, when you say worst year in your adult life, I mean, that doesn't register for me at all.
Right? Yeah. So it's all just our personal experience.
And 2020 has had some gifts for me.
Well, this is when you want to change your thoughts.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, but if you were asking for like, what are the dump thoughts that people have? There are people who have 2-year-old, 4-year-old, and 5-year-olds at home with them full time with no nanny and no support. And
oh, they're out.
The point is, the circumstances vary. So even though we can all say yes, there's a pandemic in 2020. There's someone else who says there's a pandemic in 2020 and I'm a single mom with 5 kids and my job is gone. I have, you know, lung cancer in 2020 and there's a respiratory illness, right? So that's part of the challenge that we have right now is that the circumstances overall is there's this thing on the planet called COVID. Everybody's circumstance is different within it, right? So some people are single, healthy, 30 years old. Their thoughts are, what's the big deal? You're going to feel like crap for a couple of days. It's not a big deal. Why is everybody freaking out? Someone else is my 82-year-old mother with a pacemaker and AFib. Her thoughts are very different about her circumstance. Right. Mm-hmm. So when we're in the world operating, what happens is we assume our thoughts are circumstances. So there are people who are like, COVID's not a big deal. They think that's the truth. It's not. It's just your thought about it. Good news. Doesn't bother you. Someone else is thinking, this is going to kill me. That's their thought.
And look at how much we can, right, this is going to kill me. And think of how much you can think about what other people are thinking.
Other people think.
You can think, well, you're not thinking right. Yeah. That's
right. So yesterday I was at the post office, right? It's a small little building. It's a Sunday. I went because it was a Sunday. I'm like, I'm not into indoor spaces right now.
Sure.
I've got my own, I have to have surgery in a week. I'm like, I have to be isolated or I can't get this done.
Right.
So I got my mask on. I'm doing my little thing at the kiosk and this guy comes in and he starts talking about how the air conditioning is really cold. And I turn around, he doesn't have a mask on. And I said, sir, would you mind just waiting outside since you don't have a mask on? And he said, no, I'm 6 feet away from you. It's fine. And so right then, like, I know the model, right? I know my model. I know his.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, I was here first. So my model wins. So I said to him, I understand, but you're supposed to wear face coverings. It's actually like on the door. So, right. And so his wife who had a mask on, which is fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, honey, we'll go over here and wait. Right. She took him away. So clearly he has different thoughts than I do. And understanding that is critical. Yes.
It would be easy for you to judge his thoughts. But the question then becomes, where does that get you? And if it ends up being that you couldn't sleep all night long because you're stewing about this person who refused to wear a mask, then what is the result for you, Chris, in that situation?
It's a negative result for me.
It's a negative result that keeps you awake all night, an annoying result. And that's where we flip the switch. And if you did the work yesterday, then you might have said, okay, I'm judging his thought, but I have my own.
Yeah, so I can tell you the progression of that because I do believe in science. And so for me, science does go in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think it's provable, even though here in the U.S.,
there's alternative a lot facts, of scientists on the news as we speak.
Yeah, although there's a lot of people who just debate. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but science to me, if there's, you know, reputable medical scientists who have done research, I tend to believe them, and I do my own critical thinking around the, you know, the multi difference reports. I read them. I believe in science. Right. So what I had to decide as I went through this was, if those circumstances happen where I believe a mask is a healthy safeguard for me and for others based mm-hmm. on data.
Yes.
What I wasn't doing before was speaking up. So if we take the model, I know you started it. I'd love to finish it because I think it helps make sense. So a circumstance is a provable fact.
Okay.
A T is your thought. So we all have thoughts about circumstances. COVID, the weather, how much money's in your bank account, right? We develop our little brain based on our own life experience, makes thoughts. And we have about 60,000 of those a day. So this isn't like noticing all the thoughts. It's really about paying attention to the thoughts that are perpetuating a result that you don't want. Right. So if the thought that I was having was allegedly people who don't wear masks are big fat jerks,
yeah,
or in, you know, uncaring, selfish people, allegedly, then how I think triggers how I feel.
Which is the,
so someone else not wearing a mask doesn't make me angry. What makes me angry is how I think about them not wearing a mask. Mm. Okay. And that's so important, because what we do in the world is we hold other people accountable for our own emotional health. And that's where, that's what you're watching in the world right now, is people are so upset because they can't control what other people do.
Right. So let's just, I just want to make sure we get the whole model down. The C is circumstance. The T is thought. The F is feeling.
Feeling. So your feelings come from your thoughts. Your feelings do not come from circumstances.
Right, right.
Otherwise, we would all feel the same way when it comes to COVID.
Right.
And but we don't. Some people feel, like you said, liberated, inspired. Best year of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are people who feel terrified, petrified.
The A line is the action line.
So your feeling drives the action that you take. So if you feel anger,
mm-hmm.
you might yell. You might
get a video taken of you and called a Karen.
That could happen. Might video someone else.
And then call them Karen. What's the male version of a Karen?
I was told today it's either Kevin or Dave. I don't know if that's true. No offense to the Kevins and the Daves.
Sorry to all the Kevins out there. I do know one who fits the mold, though. The A is the action line, and that leads to your R line, your result.
What the actions that you take in the world trigger the results that you get. Mm. So if we run that whole model that I was using, right?
Yeah.
Someone's not wearing a mask is a circumstance. My thought is you're a selfish jerk.
Yeah.
My feeling is seething anger.
Yeah.
My action is to yell and scream and tell you you're a jerk.
Yeah.
The result is I'm being a selfish jerk.
Right.
And that's why we
don't like yourself in that.
Oh, awful. Terrible, terrible, awful feeling.
So now I know it. Yeah. So that has not served you very well. And sometimes when coaching, if you were looking at a model like this, so this is kind of like the unintentional model. This is one that isn't really, you haven't put that intention towards. But if you decided, hey, the next time this happens, because it's likely to happen again, mm-hmm. let me fill in what I want for the R line to be.
My case, it's the F line.
Okay. What do you want to feel instead?
Right. I want to feel confident.
Okay.
Instead of angry.
And then
afraid, really, which is really what that anger is fear.
Right? Fear, right. Disguise.
So for me, it's confident. And so what I decided instead of he's a big selfish jerk is I can speak up for myself.
And that leads to a feeling of confidence.
That probably
leads to actions that are not quite as volatile.
No, I made a request.
The result is you walk away feeling, okay, I handled that okay.
I at least had a voice, because when I was, in my case, feeling so much fear or anger, I went in. I didn't yell and tell people they were big fat jerks. That's not my role.
No.
That is not my typical response. My typical response is to suck it up and then see, right? And what I'd rather do, and what I'm working on in lots of parts of my life, not just, this is just one example of a guy in the post office, is more just to say, that's not okay with me. Now, that doesn't mean other people have to do what I ask. That's not my business.
Right.
What's my business is to say what I want. And if he had not left, I would have.
You would have left, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that, because that's my decision. I can take care of myself. My emotional and physical well-being is not connected to this man who I don't know. And I will not give it to him.
Yeah. So let's run through one that might be around, I'm really struggling in business.
Something that's
like,
it's really hard to make money.
A speaker who says, oh, I miss the audiences. It's really hard to make money. There's so much unknown out there in terms of when we're coming back. You know, I'm getting frustrated. I'm feeling uncomfortable financially, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So I actually have a client who runs a very successful experiential marketing firm. So everything they do is face-to-face. And literally within, 10-day period,
gone.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? And that was all of that. And I think there's a lot of people who can relate to that on very large or small scales, right? Anyone whose business is contingent on getting on airplanes and doing things in front of people, conferences, trade shows, anything, right?
Free travel.
All of it. Yes. Yeah. So I think what you have to decide is because I think you have to tell yourself the truth first. Yeah.
Right.
You're right. The way that you made money this time last year is not currently an option.
Not viable.
So good to know. Now, what are the next questions I should say that you ask yourself are the critical ones,
mm-hmm.
which is, what am I going to do about this? Or why is this happening to me? Why is this so hard? Right. Or what can I do that no one else is doing?
Where's the opportunity?
What is a creative solution? I have a client, I have a girlfriend, I should say, she's not a client, who did a virtual event. Granted, she's a really big lead base. She did a virtual event for not a lot of money. And I went to it because I'm like, what does this look like? I want to see, like, what's a virtual event, right? It was the virtual retreat, I think is what she called it.
Yes.
And so she had some pretty cool mechanisms going, and they had technical problems. Let's go. 5,000 people.
Wow.
So here's what I tell everybody that is a client of mine who relies on public interaction. If you can't take money online, you're behind.
Yeah.
So, and I know that every single one of you listening to this podcast can find a way to generate revenue online.
I think probably there might be a few outliers who have just refused.
Well, that's because you choose not to.
But I would say that the majority of our listeners have definitely hopped on the virtual bus. Some have hopped on more wholeheartedly than others. Mm-hmm. And I think the thought to address is probably still, this is hard.
It is hard.
This is hard.
You know what I do with those clients? All right, I'll give it to you. Let's put it in the C line.
Okay.
So I'll give it to you that it's provable. It's hard. What thought do you have about that? So it's hard. What's the problem with hard?
Good question.
I don't wanna.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start.
It's harder than I want it to be. That's you're starting down a path though that could be very helpful for people who are, you know, let's talk about confusion.
Yeah, that's a feeling.
A feeling of confusion is, so I have this client who I adore who kept saying, but I don't know how to do a webinar. And yeah. So, well, okay, you do it, you know, what do you do? What would you do if you were doing it live? Well, I do this and this and this. Okay, so have you got a microphone? Yeah. Have you got a camera? Yeah. Have you got some slides? Mm-hmm. Okay, you're ready to go. Let's just do a webinar. Like, I think there might be, the thought is, I'm too confused to get off the mark, when really that thought is steeped in.
Well, if we put that in the model, right? I don't know what to do. That's the thought. Yeah. I don't know how to do a webinar.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling confusion.
Yes.
Or helpless.
Yes, helpless.
Action. Tell my coach on every call, I don't know how to do a webinar.
Yes.
Complain that I don't know how to do
webinars.
Week
after week, yes.
Find evidence of how terrible I am at doing webinars.
Yeah.
Result, I don't learn how to do a webinar. Yes. What I know about the majority of the women and men that you coach and that I coach is how capable everybody is.
Yeah. And really, it only took one.
Right. So from a coaching perspective, if you're coaching other people or you're coaching yourself,
yeah,
the best course of action isn't all the ways you can do a webinar. It's, all right, so you don't know how to do a webinar. Are you willing to learn?
Yeah.
And they might say maybe. They might say no. They might say yes. If you say no, no, I don't want to learn. All right, let's talk about something else today. What else is on your mind? Like, I'm not going to indulge that. Mm-hmm. I know that if you can get your voice, there has never been a time ever in the world right now for people to find their space to share their voice. Every person has something to say that is perfect for someone else. And my thought is, if you have a message and you aren't exploring the platform to share it, you are now providing a disservice to the people who need you, because you can't get over figuring out how to do a Facebook Live or an Instagram Live or a webinar.
So we flip that, I don't know how to, I'm going to figure it out.
I'm willing to figure it out.
I'm willing to figure it out. And you get it done. And the result is, now I do webinars.
I know how to do webinars. I know how to take money from a webinar.
And most of the people that were our listeners, they're on this bus already. But I do want the term, where's the opportunity? Or you had a couple of other thoughts that might have been really helpful replacements for this is hard, or I'm having a rough year, or something of that nature.
Yeah.
You know, something that could just, because once you get really intentional about your thoughts, that's what holds all the power.
Yeah. And it is about, you know, the problem with a lot of people who don't love the thought model when they first hear it is the requirement for personal accountability.
Mm.
To really identify that, okay, it's not COVID's fault. It's not my admin's fault who quit. It's not China's fault. It's not anybody's fault. Pandemics happen. Illnesses happen. Businesses are affected. Who do I want to be right now? That's up to me. But that takes the courage of being able, I mean, listen, you were a great example, right, Jane? You said, it took me a hot minute. I needed a minute to catch my breath and collect my thoughts. And there were plenty of people that I was coaching, and that was the conversation. Like, look, you don't have to do anything. Everybody copes differently. But slipping into victimhood and blame, that's not going to serve you.
Yeah.
So you either have to sort of, I think, decide like, you know what? I was going to sit this year out and I'm going to do it with love and grace. I'm going to, if my kids are home, I'm going to pour into my family. I'm going to remodel that room I've always wanted to read. I'm going to clean, whatever, like whatever, but do it with intention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, you know what? I've always wanted to be less of a road warrior.
Now's a good time to write the book.
Now I can write the book. Now I can get off the airplane long enough to figure out and learn how to do a webinar. Do you know how many more people you can reach? I just enrolled the people in my How to CEO program. There's a woman in there from Kenya. I mean, come on.
That's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity, and the world has gotten flatter as a result of it.
But it's not flat though, right? We know the world's not flat.
I am a conspiracy theorist. No. But I do say the world is flat because of that book. And I really believe that globally, the opportunity has never been so.
Never been better. And so many people's eyes are on their screen.
Yes. Canadians can cross the border so easily and vice versa. So there's a lot of beautiful things out there. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, tell everybody where they can get in touch with you if they would like to reach out to you and talk about your services, et cetera.
Sure. So probably the easiest couple of places are if you like listening to, you know, insights and tips on leading a team, I have a podcast called Lead Your Team. Great. It's on anywhere you're going to find a podcast. And I'm mostly active on Instagram, which is Chris Plackey Coach. You can also find me on LinkedIn. And then my website is chrisplackey.com. Yeah. And if you're interested in the How to CEO program, you're always welcome to go to howtoceojoin.com. And that's where you can learn about it. And then we have a wait list starting for the next program that starts in January.
Awesome. Yeah. That's Plachy.
Yes, Plackey.
If anybody.
Unlike your pronunciation.
I think it sounds very romantic.
I agree. I like it better. Yeah.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for your time. If you've been listening in, I hope you will think about your thoughts.
Think about your thoughts
more intentionally and really go out there and look for the opportunity. Well, thank you for being with us today. And with that, we will say, see you soon, Wealthy Speakers. Bye for now, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. If you need help building the speaking business of your dreams, head over to wealthyspeakerschool.com and take advantage of our 20-minute next step call. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.